Our Holy Gospel for today comes from Luke, the 10th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Glory to you, O Lord. Now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals. Greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what's set before you. Cure the sick who are there. Say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I've given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to start out by telling you a story. It has to do with a little superhero team called the Avengers. Now, I don't know if you know very much about the Avengers, or even the Marvel Cinematic Universe, for that matter. But stick with me. I'll try to explain this within reason. I'm not going to go on forever. It's a very popular movie series right now. They've made some very successful movies, including what could end up being the highest grosses, but that's beside the point. Anyway, the Avengers, they have like Iron Man, Thor, Captain America, Black Widow, Captain Marvel, you name it. If you've probably seen some of their movies. But they're a hero team, and they always win. None of their movies end on a loss. And yet, there's this movie called Avengers Infinity War. And it came out last year. And in this movie, there's this really bad guy named Thanos. He's very bad, very big. And what he does is he gets these things called the Infinity Stones. And I probably lost you already, but that's okay. Stay with me. He gets it, and he's all-powerful, basically. He's got a lot of power. The Avengers try to stop him. They're pretty confident that they can do that, yet they're broken into multiple teams. Each team tries, and they fail. At the very end of the movie, he snaps his finger. Half of all life in the universe is gone in an instant, and it ends with them losing. That's not possible. That's not how it's supposed to go. They don't lose. Anyway, the start of the next movie, and if you haven't seen it, Avengers Endgame, I'm sorry, I'm just going to talk about this beginning part. I'm not going to talk about any more of this movie. But they're still confident. They're still arrogant. They still seem to think they can't lose, even though they just did. The last movie ended that way. And they find him again, at which point he says, "You can't reverse this. It's not possible. Because I've destroyed the Infinity Stones." They lost again. They lost again. Superheroes aren't supposed to lose. That's not how it's supposed to go. The Avengers are surely not supposed to lose. But there's a common theme amongst those two situations in which they lose. They were so confident that they could do no wrong. And that word is arrogance. Do you know what arrogance is? Well, if you look it up in the dictionary, at least when I Google it, it's pretty vague. It doesn't give an exact answer other than to say to be arrogant. But it gives other examples that maybe you've heard of. Hubris. egotism, big-headed, a sense of superiority, smugness, vain, the thought that you can do no wrong. Now I know there's nobody here that has this problem, am I right? None of us are arrogant. None of us have any of this hubris or sense of superiority, right? Alright, if I'm being honest, that right there is a little arrogant, to think none of us are arrogant, to think I'm not arrogant. We all, at some point, battled this. We've experienced it in one way or another, I'm sure. My kids are way better than yours at sports. I'm the best at what I do. I don't need any help. I can do this on my own. The Twins are the best team in the league right now, and by golly, they're going to win the World Series. Nothing can stop them. Any of that sound familiar? Any of it sound a little arrogant, a little outlandish? Well, our lessons today did a very nice job of tying together this theme of arrogance. Remind us that we still fall into a sense of arrogance every once in a while, even in our faith life. Galatians talks about not obeying the law. How the circumcised want you to be circumcised. We want you to do it because the law says they want to do it. But even those that have done it already don't obey the law all the time. But you know, you still need to be circumcised. And why is that? Paul says, so they can boast. So they can brag about it. So they can say, yes, look what we did. 2 Kings is a story of Naaman who had leprosy. Knows God can save him. He knows this prophet. The king says, well, I'm not God. The prophet Elisha sends a message that says, go, wash 7 times. Be clean. Naaman says, oh, well, Elisha couldn't be bothered to come here and see me for myself. I don't need him for this. I don't have to do this. It's ridiculous. I could go wash anywhere in the entire world. But why here? Why, if Elijah can't be bothered to show up here and sends his own servant instead, why do I have to listen? And even the gospel from last week, if you remember any of it, says some of the disciples said, if you command me to send down fire to consume them, we'll do that. Those are the same disciples that are continually getting confused. It's a little odd. In today's gospel, some of these 70 that are sent out are bragging, Lord, even the demons, that's right, even the demons are submitting to us. Us. All three of these have something in common. They look at the self. It's about me. I made demons submit to me. I can send fire, no problem. I'll do it myself. Find a way to be healed. I want you to follow the law so I can be the one to brag. And in the end, what does this get us? Gets us in quite the bind. We look at ourselves instead of who deserves the actual glory. It can seem impossible. Holds us back. Holds back the awesomeness of God. You know what? I can be pretty arrogant. Can be pretty self-centered. We might even fall in that in our own beliefs sometimes that I am 100% correct. You're wrong. My understanding of Christ is right. Yours is wrong. But the focus should be on God, not ourselves. Who are we? We're the messenger, but we're not the message. It's a giant team effort. On our own, it's just not possible. It really isn't. It is impossible by ourselves. How are we supposed to heal ourselves? Naaman on his own sure wouldn't be healed, and he wouldn't have been healed if he would have continued to be there and that arrogance and that stuck in that self-centeredness. His servants convinced him to wash himself. You know what? He said, do it. They said, do it. Try it. If the prophet was here right now, would you have done it? They convinced him to do it. On our own, we'll get tempted by so many things. Instead, Paul reminds us, bear one another's burdens together. In the gospel, Jesus sends out 70. Not by himself. Not just the 12. 70 that we really hadn't heard of before. And all these things are done around the actual message. All these are possible because of the message, Jesus Christ. Only through God was Naaman healed. New creation is everywhere, only through the one who took it all upon himself. The kingdom of God is indeed near. Rejoice that through Christ alone, your name is written in heaven. And don't boast of what you're able to do, what it is that you personally believe on your own accord. Instead, boast only of the cross of Christ, the cross of Jesus, and all that stands for. That's something to boast about. That cross in which sins were crucified, Christ was crucified, sin, death, and the devil were crucified. Our self-centeredness, even, our arrogance was crucified. That is something to boast about, that cross of Christ. The cross holds us all together. We can reach what seems to be unreachable through Christ alone. So continue to encourage one another, love one another, live with one another. In Christ alone, all things are possible. It's not arrogant. It's the truth. Through the Christ alone, some of those holes are filled. We can't be everywhere at once. To think we can be is arrogant. But instead, we've been given so many different gifts. Maybe a congregation in another town can reach where we cannot. Maybe somebody you would never expect to be able to proclaim the good news is able to proclaim it better than I personally can. Who knows what it is? But regardless of what it all is, it is in Christ alone. That's the truth. This Christ alone who watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. This Christ alone who has written our names in the heavens. This Christ alone who washes us clean. Our sins are forgiven through grace alone, through Christ alone. This Christ alone who fulfills the law. This Christ alone who says, for neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. Everything old's passed away. Behold, everything has become new. Let us work for the good of all together. That's the good news that we can bring to one another. And again, it's not arrogant. It is the truth. The truth that through Christ alone, everything is changed. We can't do it on our own. We never could. But through Christ alone, all things are possible. Thanks be to God. Amen.